Welcome back to this special edition of Weekend Perspective. I'm Terry Barr. We are in the midst of two significant issues: protests following the death of George Floyd while in police custody in Minneapolis, and how to deal with the stress already brought on by the coronavirus pandemic. Jim McGaugh and I talked with UW Health clinical psychologist Dr. Shyla Mergain about mental health and what she is hearing from people about it right now.
People are experiencing so much anguish right now. We've undergone a considerable amount of stress with COVID-19 that has persisted month after month. And then with the protests and the brutal killing of George Floyd, we're finding that people are heartbroken from seeing the violence, but also small businesses are struggling with some destruction to property. And I think people have lost a sense of how to proceed. And as a result, mental health is at the forefront. We're all very vulnerable to stress, overwhelm. There are heightened levels of anxiety, even increased symptoms of depression. Yes. And it's a time, I say, that we really need to work on emotional protective equipment, EPE, to help us really put our mental health and well-being at the forefront so we can not just survive this time, but start to thrive again, individually, as a community, and as a nation.
How do you put that, as you said, EPP, or just mental mm-hmm. health in general? What are some of the first steps a person can take? And you're going to be helping Jim and I yes. and our listeners
please,
with
please,
this.
Please, doctor.
So, Jim, please, doctor, help.
Yes, exactly. When we think of that emotional protective equipment, we think about really recognizing, one, that this is tough, right? That you may have some good days, but probably everyone, including all the listeners, will have some challenging days, and that's normal. It's normal to maybe lose some sleep or have some overeating or binge watch Netflix to kind of numb out. So recognize that they are going to have some challenging times, and there's a common humanity around that. I think when we can have some acceptance around that, that allows us to get back into the driver's seat and then proactively take action. The second thing that I would really encourage is a regular practice of quieting your mind and being a bit of the calm in the storm. Right now, there is such heightened stress. You turn on the news and it's just like, what's the bad news and what the struggles are. Even talking to people, you can feel the level of distress and hear it in their voice. And so it's really important to engage in a daily centering practice. Many people are encouraged to do mindfulness meditation. A simple practice I like is a be here now practice, that you use your senses, whether it's sight, smell, touch, or taste, or auditory hearing, and just noticing using your senses the moment. And you can even use a phrase of be here now to help ground you.
Oh, I love that.
An alternate is just doing some slower, lower breathing, some mindful breathing. When we get stressed and overwhelmed, we tend to really hold our breath or engage in chest breathing. That is called stress breathing or survival breathing, and really will ramp up that physiological agitation and arousal in our system. So something quite simple is just doing three mindful breaths, doing that slower, lower belly breathing. That will also help calm physiology. And a real takeaway is when we're stressed and overwhelmed and anxious and agitated, we don't do our best thinking. We tend to be in that autopilot, in that survival mode, reactivity, and that can sometimes make things worse, and we're vulnerable to engaging in poor coping. So being that calm in the storm, really doing some simple mindfulness practices, or for some people, maybe even some centering prayer might feel a little more attuned to their religious orientation or faith. Just taking that time, even a minute, 5 minutes a day, when we calm our system, then we can start to think clearly, we can get creative, we can get back in that driver's seat, and then we're much more likely to engage in good coping and really allow us to take action to allow our relationships to flourish and have greater well-being.
I know, Jim, you were talking about people that you saw. Now, Jim has been off the last couple of days. So so hopefully he was able to, as you said, just kind of shut it down for a little bit. But, Jim, what did you say people were saying to you as you were out and about?
Doctor, people are very fearful. And I know I feel like some of our normal routines and comfort zone items have been sort of sacrificed. I told Terry I stopped this morning for coffee at a convenience store I normally go to, and it was boarded up. The windows had all been broken out apparently, and it was boarded up. So things that we rely on and we're comfortable with are gone, and I never anticipated any of that ever happening. So
Jim, yeah, thank you for that. It's really profound. I know here in Madison, our main street, State Street, virtually every business is boarded up, and it looks so different. And it feels like a friend of mine said, it almost feels like we're in a war zone.
War zone. That's what I thought this morning, Doctor. I felt like we were, and we've never dealt with that. And I mean, Madison's a pretty nice place, a pretty safe place, we thought. So this is all foreign to us. It's very new.
Yeah, it is. And what I've been inspired by is those businesses started to call out artists to create a graffiti art on the plywood. And so it's turning into a bit of an art walk. And I think it speaks to, you know, there is that fear response. This is probably the first time in our lifetime we don't know what the future holds. We have no idea what 4th of July will look like, so we can't even plan. And it's easy to start to engage in catastrophizing. There is a lot of grief right now, collective grief. And one of the ways the grief manifests is in anticipatory grief of coming up with doom and gloom scenarios of the future and then engaging in that as reality. So one of the practices I really encourage is something I call a back pocket moment, which is thinking about past struggles we've all gone through. Maybe it's past losses, like losing a job or a loved one or a breakup where you're heartbroken or just some difficulty where you went through it and at the time you didn't think you were going to make it through. But when you look back, it actually turned out okay and maybe even better than expected. Sometimes when we can go back to those past experiences of resilience, it helps us really tap into our inner strength. Knowing we have a lot of capability, we have to adapt right now. We have to create a new normal, but we have those capacities and things are starting to break apart. But I also like to think about fire resistant seeds, that those are the seeds who only germinate under fire. And as things are breaking apart, there also is something new occurring. You know, there are ways that we're recognizing we live in community. There's a kind of awakening of some of the systemic racism that's existed in our nation that maybe people had been blind to. And there is so much help. People are helping, offering compassion and care. And so I like to think of, you know, if we can connect with those inner resources, and then figure out, how do I best navigate this time? What kind of support do I need? How can I make a difference? Because lastly, when we feel a sense of purpose, when we can think about, okay, you know, I've gotten through past times in that back pocket moment, I can get through this. Then the other practice I like is something called temporal distancing. When we think about ourselves a year from now, even 5 years from now, or on our 90th birthday, how do we want to have gotten through this time? You know, what do we want to tell our grandkids about how we navigated this? And sometimes that can provide some clarity around purpose. And then if we just do one thing, you know, one thing a week, one thing a day, one small way that can help us kind of keep on track, I think some of those core values of making a difference, helping, offering kindness, those can be some of those North Stars that North Star that we can guide by during these challenging times. And it really keeps hope alive, I think, too.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, we are a resilient bunch, aren't we, Doctor?
Thank goodness.
Yeah, and I think about, gosh, across humanity, we've gone through some really hard times, right? Our ancestors survived, you know. We've all come through a really resilient, you know, lineage. So we'll get through this, too.
How do we help our listeners, I guess, be able to talk about this and to be able to try to make sense, or maybe to be the helpers?
That's a great question. To stay in dialogue with one another, I know Barnes & Noble put out a list of trending books about racism. So educate yourself about racism. There are top, I think, 20 books right now that are trending are very helpful books. So educate yourself, stay in dialogue, listen, learn. Right now, the protests, majority have been peaceful, you know, and there is power in coming together collectively, advocating for change. As we've seen, some of the protests have gone violent. That tends to be a small minority of people who are really leading that charge. But it's also an opportunity to channel anger into action. Anger is a very helpful emotion. It really highlights when a boundary has been breached, when something unjust is happening. But we're seeing displays of righteous anger that is destructive.
Yeah.
And at its core, anger is just energy, and a very important energy to remoralize after feeling demoralized or taking back power when you felt victimized. But if we can get anger at its core of just energy, thinking about what is the constructive way I can express this energy in terms of action, advocating in a way that will preserve that relationship with others, ways that will build up my community, and really make that kind of difference I can feel proud of. So I would encourage people to, when they're feeling that anger and they're in the midst of a protest that may be veering towards violence, to take a stand, you know, to advocate for change that preserves all human dignity, and will really be that kind of legacy we want. And that could be, for example, in our protests in Madison, they were showing there was a man in the midst of some, it was starting to intensify and about to reach that tipping point of some violence, that man was picking up trash during the protest.
Yeah.
And the newscaster said, I didn't even notice that. They were live streaming the protest. He didn't notice it till afterwards, so he highlighted it at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly see examples of people protecting other people or standing in front of stores saying, no, you can't go and destroy the window here, or calling people out saying there's a different way. And that could be at a protest. Many people aren't actually at those sites, but it could be even just reaching out to somebody on social media you haven't talked to, just saying, you know, how are you doing? You know, what's going on? How can I be there for you? And just kind of trying to stay informed is so important at this time.
Wow, that's interesting. If you can channel that, because anger is an energy, if you can channel that energy into a more positive force, we're all going to gain from it.
Yeah,
it can be a real powerful fuel if it's used in a constructive way.
Wow.
So we are designed to deal with stress as a human. You know, we've existed since caveman, cavewoman times, handling all sorts of stressors. However, we don't necessarily thrive when there is chronic stress. A lot of health issues start to occur or get exacerbated when we're under a lot of stress. And there's a concept called allostatic load, which refers to when we are dealing with chronic stress. That has a wear and tear on our body, and we start to feel worn down. We can become weary. We're vulnerable to burnout. And that might manifest as in maybe you're having trouble getting some things done, like sending a simple email at work or participating in a conference call at work or meeting the deadline with a project. It might display as just having trouble getting out of bed or feeling more irritable or snappy with others.
Jim.
And so
that's been me, like even with the coronavirus thing, I'm like, rah, 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 rah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's helpful to think about that actually is quite normal, a normal response when we are, you know, we're going into what I think month three of dealing with not only the pandemic, but now this, all the protests that are happening and that on top of everything, and maybe loss of income or destruction to property as a result of the protests. So a real takeaway is to proactively work on self-care. You want to do anything you can to reduce that stress response. So just really proactively making sure you're eating nutritious food, it's the summertime, a lot of great fresh produce available, mm-hmm. prioritizing yeah. sleep, working on sleep hygiene, some of those sleep skills like regular bedtime, wake time, quiet, comfortable bedroom, having a bedtime routine, also really engaging in social support. As Wisconsin is opening up, there are many opportunities to connect with people safely from a social distance, outside in the fresh air, making sure you're exercising, regularly moving the body, connecting with nature. Nature can be a balm for the soul during this time, and there's something quite healing about being in nature. And I always say nature offers us something beyond human connection. Making sure you're processing your emotions. I'm a big fan of therapeutic journaling, just journaling for a couple minutes about what you may be experiencing or some of those distressing emotions, getting them out of the head onto the paper so you can make better sense of them and release them. Even engaging in some hobbies, something that's fun, enjoyable, pleasurable, recreational. And lastly, recognizing that, you know, it isn't normal. We're creating the new normal and having some acceptance about that. And then figuring out, okay, if this is the new normal, how can I adapt to it? How can I get creative about how I'm approaching it so I can feel like I'm thriving again? All of that really helps us really cultivate well-being during these challenging times.
Clinical psychologist Dr. Shyla Mergane with UW Health. Now, we want to keep this conversation going, and you can find all kinds of resources to help you talk with others and ask questions and, of course, listen. Please go to our website and know our phones are open, too, and we want to hear from you. I'm Terry Barr. Thank you for listening to this special edition of Weekend Perspective.